Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you from my residence here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what's going on and some of the programming content, please hit the donate button. I know they would appreciate the support. I also would like to say good day to the RCMP, the Canadian Secret Intelligence Services, Revenue Canada, and who else took some time out today to listen in on our conversation. Welcome to the show, guys. And today, you know what, there's people in Canada that I have met through my internet connections and radio shows and talks that, you know, really share my passion right now for what we see going on in our country. And Jürgen Wollrath has taken some time today to join me again. Really enjoy having conversations with Jürgen because he sees and recognizes all the dangers that we see right now coming to our country and why we must speak very loudly right now about what is going on. Welcome to the show, Jürgen, and always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. And as usual, it's a pleasure to speak with you because, as you just stated, it really is heartening to know that there are others out there, that we're not alone. One of the worst things that we've had in the last number of decades with political correctness is the fact that we've been thrown into this wasteland where we are basically ignored, where conservative values have been thrown into the dustbin of history, and the leftists have taken over all of our institutions, as you know. So because we are individuals, we have been forced, because of the way we are, to be disunited when we should be coming together as a strong conservative force. And that's what we see happening now, with the movement all around the world, right?
Well, you know what? The last couple of weeks has been inspiring because I am seeing an incredible wake up. I was on a little show this morning and I said the same thing, that in my town right now, which is a small community in northern British Columbia, I've seen an incredible awakening of people that, years and years ago, everybody knows that I wear a tinfoil hat and I'm one of these conspiracy nuts, but, I'm now having people really starting to come up to me. I had four or five people start conversations this week about the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact. And as much as the mainstream media wants to quash all the information on this, as much as they want to dress it up and put lipstick on it and make it look like a beautiful thing, it is actually the destruction of our country. And people are starting to recognize this, and they're starting to see through the charade. And I'm talking about people that are hardworking people that, in the past year, Jürgen, really it seemed to me they didn't really pay attention to much. And now all of a sudden they're paying attention. So the word is getting out there. The wave is growing. At this particular time, I think we really got to give it a kick in the butt and really get it going, because they're coming after us hard in ways that just absolutely blows my mind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, in ways that blows your mind is right. And you know, when we look at this global migration pact that Trudeau just signed us over to the UN with, we have to look at the bigger picture here. And I think that is the fact that we have been dominated. We've been a petri dish for the globalist agenda since the 1950s, ever since the United Nations was formed. Canada was the original petri dish for globalism. We know the history of Maurice Strong. If people want to please look up that name, Maurice Strong. He recently died a few years ago. He's one of the godfathers of Agenda 2130. He's one of the originators of the mess we're in right now. And he was the mentor to many of the leaders that we've had in this country. And that's why when Justin Trudeau says we are going to lead the way, he means it, because there is a history of Canada being the leader of the United Nations globalist agenda ever since the 50s. Right. So we need to be aware of that bigger picture. It's not just the current situation we're in now. This is what has, I guess you would say, this is finally them scoring the touchdown, right? Because they've been marching down the field towards this goal ever since the United Nations was formed. So bingo, this year it's all signed. So what we have to do, Barry, and you said it earlier, there's so many things attacking us. This is just another one of those UN things combined with all those other things. And I'd like to talk about some of those other things with you as well. We only have an hour, and I know an hour goes really quick. So,
Well, it does. We
cannot lose sight of that, Barry. We have to remember this was all part of an end game. It is not the game right now. It is part of an end game. So what we have to look at, and Donald Trump and the Americans, they're getting the right idea now, and that's kicking the UN to the curb. It's lost all functionality. You look at the Security Council, who the members are. You look at who the nation members are that are driving these agendas. And they are not nations that are friendly to our way of thinking whatsoever. So it's time we take a serious look at kicking them, giving them a boot in the ass. And I think really globally, it's time for democratic nations that believe in peace, prosperity, and liberty for all to form a new union and kick the rest of them out. And you might be surprised as to what countries could join that union.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, the United Nations, if you look at the 10 top countries on the United Nations Board of Human Rights, the top 10 countries that are actually violating human rights. And if you look at the list, it'll blow your mind that these are the countries that are in charge of the United Nations Human Rights Division. I mean, come on, guys. Wake up. I mean, the United Nations is nothing but a globalist organization, and Trudeau is just bending over for these guys. He is their poster boy right now. And without him, you know, I mean, Canada was monumental in laying down the guidelines for this United Nations mass immigration pact. A lot of people don't know that, Jürgen.
Yeah,
but they were instrumental. Right. They were instrumental in what was laid down in that pact. And Trudeau, of course, he was the first in line. Well, it was actually our immigration, Somali immigration minister, who is a confessed Muslim with ties to Hamas and other organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and all these other organizations, signed us on to under the name of the Canadian people. I'm at a point where, you know, most Canadians now that really are paying attention, Jürgen, our blood is boiling. But we really got to contain that anger, because if it comes out the wrong way, we'll drive people away. But I told you before the show started today that I'm at a point now, especially with people now that are actually starting to wake up to this, that we have to push it pretty hard, because time is getting short. And I don't say that lightly, but I honestly believe our time to be able to do this is going to come to an end in the very near future. So if we don't do it now, we are really in trouble. Look at what $590 million Trudeau just gave to the mainstream puppets under his command. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you combine that with the $1.6 billion, I think it was, that CBC got. So now we're looking at an expenditure of over $2 billion to buy the media in this country.
The feed is absolutely.
Yeah, it is absolutely disgusting to think that that is where we have come in this country. But this shows exactly the level of, I would say, outright tyranny that we're living under now. This has turned. And you know, here, Barry, here's the other thing. I think most Canadians are not aware that we have given so much power to the Prime Minister's office. That's why he can smirk. That's why he can be so confident in what he's doing. He is untouchable. He can grope whoever he wants. His elbow can push whoever's breast he wants in the House. He can say whatever he wants, the most outrageous things that he comes up with, because the Prime Minister's office has so much power today that has been granted to it by the people sitting in the House of Commons. Right? The very people we elect to represent us decided to turn around and give all that power to the guy who sits at the head of the party that happens to win this election. And well, it's this party this year and that party next year and the next party the next year.
Well, they're just doing exactly what they're being told to do, Jürgen. You know, they have no power. They're just puppets on strings. We know that. And we know if you're not part of the big party, you're going to be out of there and bad things are going to happen to you. And unfortunately, that's where we are right now in Canada.
You just nailed it. Because with all that power in the Prime Minister's office, it's very easy then for a certain groups to control that one person that sits in that office, right? They can hold everything or anything over that person's head and tell them exactly where they want the direction of this country to go. And that's where we're at now. George Soros is steering the boat. And we're being driven off the friggin' edge of the cliff.
Well, you know what? I at this point, like I said, Jürgen, if Canadians aren't awake and they are not paying attention to what's going on, they're either totally brain dead or they just don't care. And I say to those Canadians, unfortunately, I live in this country too, but you're going to get what you deserve. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And, you know, at this point, like I said, if people can't take a couple hours and just go look at what this government's actually doing right now in this country and roll it around in your brain and tell me if there's anything there beneficial. I can't come up with one single thing that Justin Trudeau has done since he's come to power that's beneficial to the Canadian people. I challenge anybody to show me something that he's done that's actually beneficial. I put that question out to a lot of people. Can you come up with something? Because I can't.
No, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there.
It's just blank, man.
There's nothing in the suit.
We could talk about it. People really don't get it. I mean, how much money has this man sent? How much has he put our country in debt? He was elected under a platform of guaranteeing a balanced budget, second year in power. And now we see that his deficit for this last year is going to be close to, they said $19 billion, but a memo out of the auditor's office just came down. It's going to be like $33 billion.
Yeah.
Uncontrolled spending. Yeah. Well, of course, it's all by design. It's meant to bankrupt our country, and he is doing a very, very good job.
Another broken promise. What else is new, right?
Well, there isn't. He has, like, how many has he broken? I mean, all of them. I mean, the guy is just, whatever happened to my country? Why are we in a situation where the prime minister is beyond reproach? Why can't the RCMP do the job and go arrest this guy for treason? Because the case for treason against Justin Trudeau in my world is black and white. There's just no in-betweens. When you have ISIS fighters returning to Canada and allowing these people to walk free in our society. And sure, they say they're monitoring and all this other crap. Bull crap. And you're allowing that to happen. You're directly endangering the lives of Canadian citizens. We saw it on the Danforth. We've seen it in multiple occasions already now in Canada. What's it going to take? Is it going to take one of these guys in that cases that's here to perpetrate these actions or society to do a mass killing? Like, you know, 2,000 Canadians were killed today. Is that what it's going to take for Canada to wake up in mass? I don't know. Or is it going to take us to the point where France is right now? I mean, my God, look what's going on over there, guys. This is just beyond anything I'd ever thought I'd see in my lifetime. But the same thing is coming here, Jürgen, very, very soon.
Well, the one refreshing thing that we can talk about is this past weekend where communities all across this country showed support for the Yellow Vest movement. And what I think we're going to see, I'm hoping this is for real. I think it's going to grow. I think every weekend you're going to see more people participate. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to see much of it in cities like Montreal or Ottawa. Some of the heavy liberal federal financed areas, you might not see a lot of protests because so many people are afraid of losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. That's the situation we've come to in this country, right, with our freedom of expression being robbed. We now have situations where people in our public service, people in our provincial services are told that either they or their friends can't post certain things on social websites or they can lose their jobs. This is where we're at. This is very serious. You know, we talk about losing freedom of speech and freedom of expression as something that's going to happen in the future. No, it's already here. We're done. It's already in place. They've already put M103 in place. We already have blasphemy laws in place, right? We have a danger right now, Barry, you and I talking about the migration pact. Now, it's fairly new. They might give us some leniency, but we're already under UN law and UN mandated laws. So
that we could be criminally charged for speaking.
We could be criminally charged today, Sunday. What's the date today? December what?
17th.
This is the day. Yeah, we can officially be charged just for talking about the UN illegal immigration migration pact that our prime minister signed without the will of the Canadian people. That is where we're at.
Did people just hear what you just said, Jürgen? Because I really hope that sinks in, guys, that really grabs you by the short hairs. Because if it doesn't, then I don't know what else to say to people, Jürgen. The implications of this pact are mind-boggling, and we're going to see the destruction of Canada if it's allowed
to
go.
Barry, I cannot stress this enough. This is my heart from my heart. Again, I'm going to go back to what I stated earlier. The bigger picture here is Agenda 2130, which is an effect of this. This migration is all part of that. So that's the bigger thing. And here's the other thing that is included in that. those recent fires in California, the fire up in Fort Mac, all of that is tied in. It's all about placing population, taking land, getting people off the land, having regulations. Think about this. The Chinese, I'm going to say right now, I think the Chinese own California. I think they own Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. What do you think of that?
I think you're pretty correct.
I think the West
People don't understand it, but when I say that to people, they go, yeah, right, yeah, good luck. Well, I'll tell you, right in Terrace, British Columbia here, the Chinese bought a beautiful section of land by our airport, cleaned out about 4,000 or 5,000 acres of beautiful forest so they can build a factory. And I went in front of town council and called them out on it. Anybody believes that your town council is working for you, boy, you better take your head and get it out of the sand, because every mayor in British Columbia is a, well, they're all members of the councils of mayors for that particular province. In British Columbia, our mayor is a member of the councils of mayors for British Columbia, mandated by the government in any direction that they go. And boy, oh boy. Gary Gilbert wants to call in there. Jürgen, you don't mind Gary joining our conversation,
do you? Absolutely. Come on, Gary. I hope he's feeling
better. I'll just message him here. He'd love to get in and talk with you. Gary's a great guy.
I know. I had a chat with him this morning. He was feeling pretty sick.
Yeah, could you, Steve, could you ring Gary Gilbert for me? See if we could add him into the call.
Great. No, and getting back to those wildfires, you know, I just watched a video and my heart just sunk. It showed the cars that were melted and the bodies that were in the cars. This guy was driving down the road and he showed how these, and here's an interesting thing that I, you know, you think about the smart meters. These houses that went up were all tied into the smart meter system. The houses actually spontaneously combusted with a trigger on the smart meters where the wiring inside the walls combusted the whole house. That's why the whole things are torched.
Yep. I've looked into that quite a bit, and Roger Landry down in the States, gentleman that runs the Liberty Beacon, the founder of the Liberty Beacon, he was involved in government intelligence. And when Roger talks to me, you know, I've known him for about 5 or 6 years now, and when he talks to me, I've stuff that he's told me in the past, I've checked it out, and I've yet to disprove anything that he's ever told me, so he gives me good information. And directed energy weapons, guys, if you don't believe that's a reality, then you really, really aren't paying attention, because that's what was used in California. That's what's been used multiple times in the public. And we're just starting to get wind of it now, and people are understanding that it is. I believe it was used in the destruction of the towers also. Not the whole factor in the destruction of the towers, but I believe it was a major contributing factor to the destruction of the two towers myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, what we're seeing is just pushing people out of the wilderness and compartmentalizing us into cities. And that's all part of Agenda 2030.
Exactly.
Or is it Agenda 2031 now? I think they pushed it back 1 year.
They pushed it back a year. Really? Because of
people are starting to wake up. We're gonna see some pretty interesting times coming up here, especially down in the States. You know, the genie's out of the bottle down there, and where it all goes in the next little while, Jürgen. Let's get your thoughts on that for a minute. But we're gonna see some crazy stuff, I believe, unfold in the States right now. It's an all-out war, and interesting what's gonna happen there with these indictments, and a lot of them are going to be unsealed. We know that Trump is setting up for a major takedown of a lot of people. I've had that information coming from multiple sources. And what do you think about what's going on down there and how that's going to affect Canada?
I think
and the rest of the world.
Well, I think it's going to affect everyone when the news comes out. It's going to be so shocking for most people that there's going to be riots in the street, to tell you the truth. I'm afraid for what's going to happen because there's so many crazy people out there that believe lies. And they're pretty crazy, and they'll ramp it up. And I think we're in for probably a short term of some bad stuff, but I think once the dust settles, everything will be really, really good, because the awakening will just it'll come to a whole other level once we get through that. That's my feeling. Maybe nothing may happen. I don't know. I mean, these military tribunals, I think they've already started. There's already talk that some people have already been executed. They're talking about no name and what might have happened to him, right? There's also some speculation now that after the funeral, the fake funeral of G.H.W. Bush, what would be great is talking about the speculation of what was in the card that was in those notes at the funeral.
Right. No, I know. I watched that. What a charade that was, eh?
You know, one of the theories is that it was a picture of George G.H.W. Bush still alive in a hiding place under arrest.
And then the symbolism of the day, apparently, that he died. People got to look into that, of course. This is always symbolism and dates that tie into certain events. I think Gary Gilbert's with us. Are you there, Gary?
I am. You have to excuse my voice, but I am here.
Well, Jurgen's, I ran the idea of you joining by Jurgen. He said, get that guy in here. So welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jurgen, and thank you, Mr. Barry. And how is everybody today? And how's Mr. Steve?
We're pushing each other's buttons here.
Trying to get through another day, right?
Yeah, without our heart exploding from blood pressure levels, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's the trick in itself.
Yeah, it's really, you know, like I was saying to Jurgen, it is really hard to control our rage right now. If you're not feeling it, then you're not paying attention. But we got to make sure that we channel that energy in the right direction because it can work against us just as well as work for us. So sure, we feel the rage, but we have to channel it in the right direction. I try and do that every day, but some days, boy, oh boy, I tell you, it's tough. I don't know what you guys think, but I find it really tough. I want to get into people's faces and go, look, you know, nothing you're doing right now is relevant. Who cares who won the hockey game last night? It means nothing. We got bigger issues than that to deal with and bigger fish to fry, and a lot of people still just don't get it, Gary. So I don't know what it's going to take in Canada. I really don't. Like I was saying earlier in the show, maybe it's going to take a mass killing in Canada, but I don't honestly believe that people will do that. The people behind the curtains realize that Canada is kind of a sanctuary for what they want to do. And our laws are so lax and our government is supporting everything that they're doing that why would you want to poop in your own backyard when you've got a neighbor to the south that you'd really like to take a kick at? And lots of things going on that kind of crosses my mind every day. Boy, I'll tell you, Donald Trump, I've seen a lot of tweets to Donald Trump this week asking him to invade Canada. So I find that quite comical. Donald, come up here and save us. He hasn't answered back yet, but I see a lot of tweets. Go ahead, Gary. Didn't mean to get into a rant there, but go ahead. Or no worries. Jurgen.
Hey, Gary, you go ahead. I've been ranting for a little while. You just got on the show. What do you got to say? We were talking about the migration impact compact, but I was trying to focus on bigger, the United Nations in general, the whole Agenda 2030 pushed back to 2031, apparently. Whatever it might be, the notion that we've been living under this for decades and this global migration pact is sort of like one of the games that's played in this whole restructuring of civilization. So we cannot get lost in the singularity of this event. We have to focus on the fact that we are now controlled by the United Nations, period. Their laws supersede our laws. We now have to come face to face with that fact. How do we fight that? Not this, just this global migration, because once we, you know, defeat the UN, we defeat that migration pact. It goes with them.
Well,
what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, guys?
There's a lot of truth in what he just said, but the reality is the migration compact all things considered, that's coming down the pike, it's the least of your problems.
Right.
It's certainly an issue, but it's more of a slap in the face than it is an actual problem.
We can't get in it, right?
Well, no, because, I mean, it absolutely is a problem. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely agree. It is a way to legalize something that's just absolutely not Canadian, and it's not for the people, and it's not good for anybody. And truth be told, a lot of people don't realize this because they're so focused on their hatred for the illegal migrants that it's not actually good for them either, okay?
Right.
But in the overall thing is, this is what they use to reinforce what's called precedence. When they instigate this and nobody does a thing about it, they use that to do the next thing. And the next thing, and the next thing. And they say, we don't got to worry about it. We know it's screwed up, but they're not going to do anything about it. So we can go ahead and do this. And the thing is, what's coming down the pike is going to make the migration compact look like hugs and feels, unicorns, and, you know, people.
I agree. I agree, Gary, because silence is consent. And is the Canadian public is silent on issues that are going on right now that are so relevant to the future of this country? What are we going to take? And really, what is it going to take for the Canadian
people to take it all?
I'll tell you something, Gary. We need to get everybody speaking loud because they can't put us all in jail. And there's more of us than there is of them. And if there was ever a time for Canadians to get rid of the fear factor in their life, because that is the biggest weapon they are going to use against us, is fear, then we're in big trouble. Well, I believe it is. Fear of the government, fear of that.
It's a tool. It's a tool to elicit an emotional response. But the biggest tool they've got that they're using against us is your pocketbook. Mm.
There's ways to fight against that, buddy, too. And big
there ways there absolutely is. That. So when you say that we got to get people together and get them on the same page, don't worry about the fear. You're going to be scared. Don't worry about the anger. You're going to be angry. Don't worry about all this other horse crap. Use the one thing that they use to propel these situations against them. Not necessarily against them, but take it out of their hands. Mm. And that is your pocketbook, your dollar. They don't do these things on their dollar. They do these things on our dollar. You know what I mean?
As if we have a say on it, though, Gary. We're set up in a situation where Canada, Trudeau has got, like I said, the Prime Minister's office has got so much power that he can spend money however he wants, and we have no legal recourse.
You're right. But what happens when he runs out of our money?
You can stop a lot of it. Now, what you're saying is true, Gary, but you're not going to be able to get everybody to stop work.
You won't. For a while okay, so you just said something magical right there. You're not going to get everybody to stop working. You're not going to get everybody to get on board. So that is one thing that you should take away from that, is that this is why change won't come for the positive. Because you're not going to get enough people to participate. When people that are listening to this later on, I want you to think on this. If you say, and many of you do, I say it, Barry says it, Jurgen says it, that we want a better Canada, your actions better match your words, and your actions better be sacrificing your comfort to reinforce those thoughts that you share.
Well said, Gary.
People ask
me how I live without a bank account. Well, I studied fractional banking and fiat currency years ago, and I said, well, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And I haven't had a bank account for 3 years. I haven't had it for 3 years now, and people ask me how I function without a bank account. I function quite well.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a choice. And you chose to lead by example on that issue.
Yeah, but I had to sacrifice a few things now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody said it wouldn't be a sacrifice. But that's why everybody doesn't do it, because it's a sacrifice.
Well, there's a few inconveniences with not having a bank account, but nothing you can't work around. And boy, if everybody stopped banking, man, the banks would stop having the power that they have in our society. The bankers rule everything, buddy. Go ahead.
You put your money in the bank, and then you have to pay the bank to let you spend it.
Yeah.
Do you not understand how asinine that is?
We'll just study fractional banking. If that doesn't piss you off to the core, because if we did what the banks did, we'd all be in jail. Because it's right. Fraud. But they're allowed to do it. And, of course, the government supports it because the banks own the government, and we all know that. We know how the chain of command works. But, you know, it's just there's too long.
Okay, every day I see a whole whack of Billy Badasses. So let's see that Billy Badass in action. You know, take away that power.
Jurgen, get your thoughts in on this conversation because you've been quiet for a few minutes.
Yeah, no, the general apathy of the public has been to our great demise for many years. It's been such a struggle to awaken people, to get anybody off the couch. I've really been delighted to see what happened this past weekend, not only in Edmonton and Calgary, but here in Medicine Hat. I'm so proud of the people here that over 100 people or so showed up here with their yellow vests on to protest what the hell is going on. And it's not just one single issue. It's about all the issues. It's about the nightmare that we're living under with the corruption. Listen, and I wrote something on my page the other day, which it was really heartfelt. Now, I'm a prime minister of a country, and I've just set up a foundation, and I'm getting hundreds of millions of dollars coming in, or tens of millions of dollars coming in from all over the world. I would be out there in my Canadian community dishing out a million here and a million there. What have you heard from this prime minister out of his foundation to grab some money and help the Canadian people with that foundation, from money that is flooding from all over the world into that
foundation? His mandate is in Canada.
right?
Of course.
His mandate is
Yemen. Global.
And
Yemen.
What is that money being used for? And why is there no coverage on that? Why is no one saying this man has had more foreign contributions now? It's just racking up by the millions to make sure he's reelected from outside forces. We have a neighbor down south that is having. We have a neighbor down south that is crucifying the president to nail him on anything. And up here, this guy can walk on water. Nothing touches him. It is absolutely outrageous.
It is. Jerry.
Give me $600 million. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If ever there was a time for recall legislation in Canada, boy, I'll tell you, it's now. Because if we had that mechanism in place, but unfortunately we don't. And I always grew up, believing that we lived in a democracy, that we could actually control what was going on in our country. And, of course, that thoughts have changed now. But, what can we do at this particular point? I think the best thing we can do is just talk with our friends and neighbors and make them aware of what's going to go on in the next federal election.
Yep. Change as many as you can.
We've got to make sure that he doesn't get in. And we know that they're going to pull every trick in the book.
We have to be the media. Barry,
we have to have people going to polling stations. We must have people at every polling station.
That's right.
And I will be at mine, believe me.
There you go.
Because I'm going to ask every single person after they come out of there how they voted.
I challenge you and Jürgen and anybody else you knew to do one thing. Because you all share the same overall mentality. You all know the direction this is going. And I challenge you to speak with people that you know in your personal lives, offline, maybe online, but also offline, and lay it out for them. If this happens, this is what will be the result. If this happens, this will be the result. And then watch it unfold after the 2019 election to see it come to fruition. Those people will now be able to say, you did tell me that. Maybe I don't have all the answers. You know, what do we do from here? There's lots we can do from here. One thing we can't do is give up.
My son came up with something really good. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Gary. I agree with you there.
None of us here can give up.
Yeah. He came up with something good. We're starting to create our own echo chambers of conservatism. What we need to do on pages that we have and things that we do on social media is start to highlight the nonsense of the liberal. Rather than go into a conservative echo chamber, let's pull up articles of the real facts of what they're doing to us and then highlight the complete nonsense of it. And then you throw that out there.
Or the treason.
As part of an awakening tool, right? I know some people do that already. Let's focus a little more on that. Just take the reality of what they're doing. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen?
And
why did they drop the bestiality law? Why did they drop the age of bestiality, for example? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. How is that even a topic?
Who asked for it?
How is that even a topic for anything to be discussed on the House floor?
Exactly. What about Bill C-71?
Never mind the outcome. How is it even a topic?
How do you justify that? Where did it become your part of responsibility to discuss such an issue in the House of Commons? I mean, we could go on. The list is just unbelievable. We could sit here between the three of us and bring up probably 50 points that are absolutely, to me, acts of treason against this country. Because if you look at everything that Trudeau is doing, could be really falling into the lines of treason.
It's not just Trudeau.
It's the whole thing. He's the figurehead.
Anything that the Conservatives or the Liberals or the NDP or anybody else that offers these bills for the floor for discussion, anything that actively works against the Canadian public is treason. You were hired by Canadians to represent Canadians and their wishes. So are you actively working on the taxpayer's dollar against that concept is treason. At the very least, it's malfeasance and dereliction of duty. But I would go so far as to call it treason. And they are all culpable of this. Because even though a Liberal brings forth a bill, they still need the Conservative support to push it through. So those Conservatives that supported that bill are complicit.
But not in our current situation, because the Liberals have majorities. It doesn't matter if the Conservatives oppose it or not.
So then why would they
still push through anything they want.
That's important, and that's important for people to understand. But if that's the case, then why are there still Conservatives that support certain actions against Canadians? Knowing that they don't need our vote. You don't need our vote to push through.
What you're saying is, why is every vote whipped? Because that's the situation we're in. The party whips almost every damn vote.
because we don't vote for policy, we vote for personality, and personality is the party, and the party is whipped into place.
Yeah.
Mm. How many women voted for Justin Trudeau because he's got a pretty face, you know? What a puke, man. Doesn't matter what he says, he's a nice-looking guy, so I'm going to vote for him. I screamed before he got elected, guys, and I talked to many people on many radio shows about Justin Trudeau prior to him becoming prime minister. And I tried to warn people that you really got to go look into the history of his father and what his father was involved in and who he was tied into, and then start putting all the little dots together, and you'll understand exactly what Justin's doing today, man. He's just carrying on the agenda, but he has no power. George Soros is pulling his strings. We know that. We know that he is completely powerless. He's just doing exactly what he's being told to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, you might be surprised to know that Soros is a puppet himself.
Yeah,
he's just a bigger puppet.
He could be the puppet, the main puppet behind the boys with all the money, but George is tied in with those guys through his bloodlines. And it's all about the bloodlines. If you look at the 8 or 9 bloodlines that are involved, I haven't done a lot of looking into it, but a lot of it makes sense to me.
I'll have to take a video.
I can't comprehend it all. My brain's too small. Go ahead, send me a video.
I got a wall of the bloodlines traced throughout the years, the timeline.
Right. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Disgusting is what it is.
But it's amazing how they've kept this reign of power.
Oh, yeah.
It's all connected.
This is why I keep
telling you. It's disgusting for sure, but it is quite a story, that's to say.
This is why I heard
of the Pacers.
In a good way.
Yep. The Pacer family.
The Pacer family. Yeah, I was digging into some of that research. It was originally Marie Antoinette's son and Louis the 16th or 17th, the two that were beheaded. The 17th in the French Revolution, right? The son was smuggled to North Carolina, formed a Virginia company. The Virginia company melded in with George Washington's East India Company and formed the America Corporation of something or other. And Benjamin Franklin signed them onto a guarantee because they owned railroads, media, mass, everything pretty much. They basically get 20% of national revenues. Americans wonder
right off the top.
I bet you the Pacers take the same off the top in Canada.
We're talking gross, not net.
Yeah, we're talking gross. They're the ones at the tip of the pyramid. And they're the ones that control the royal families, and they're the quiet ones. They're
same
the ones
with the Astor bloodline, the Bundy bloodline, the Collins, the DuPont, the Kennedy, the Lee.
Amazing. Right.
Russell, the Russell bloodline.
The Gilberts. You know.
Oh, shit. Hey. Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad. My
Can
bad.
You write me a check, folks. Gary?
My bad. Dude, I'm so poor I can't even pay attention.
Hey, listen, Gary, Gary's doing very well right now, guys, because I've been on other shows with him where he doesn't have to control his potty mouth, and he's doing really good today, so we'll let you go on that one, Gary, for sure.
I appreciate
so far, that. I haven't heard the F-bomb out of you yet, so keep up the good work. sometimes it's
hard to find
the words, but it's really sometimes it's hard to find the words to describe the way we feel without dropping into that sometimes, but anyways, all that being said. Yeah, I don't have a big enough brain to understand all the bloodlines, but I've looked into it a bit, and it's good to sit here with a couple guys that have really done the research on it, because it's basically how our world is run today, and will be in the future, if we allow it to keep going.
Well, see, this is the thing, and this is where I think our opinions might divide a little bit. These, you've heard me say multiple times, both of these, in fact, that this is not new. We're just repeating history. We've already been here before. And it's absolutely true. It's these same situations that keep cropping up time after time after time when we get lazy as a people. And then people start waking up again and start researching and digging into it and learning what we already know. You know, if people remember the Americans in their foundation, they pounded into the families, into the people. You need to constantly be on guard. You need to protect your democracy or it will be subverted. If communism will come, it'll come in the form of liberalism. And it's exactly what we're seeing. And it's always been that way. Rome didn't fall because of, you know, Hannibal at the gates. Rome fell from within.
Yeah.
And it fell because of liberalism. Now, we didn't call it liberalism back then, but it's the same mentality. So when you look at all these families and all their bloodlines all the way down and the corporations they own, they're things that you would even be surprised to know who owns, you know, and they are everything. If you really want to fight the government, folks, take away the one tool they worship, the dollar bill.
Right.
And if that means you have to give up the dollar bill, give it up. Trade, barter, go work for somebody for a sack of potatoes or whatever it is that you do. You know, grow your own food, get some chickens, become self-reliant. It's that simple, you know, because now they have nothing to hold over you. No debt, no dollar, no mortgage, no nothing, you know, no food.
Well, the good news in British Columbia here is that if you have solar panels now and you're not taking power from the government or from BC Hydro, you have to pay a tax.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
You know how you solve that?
They get us, you know, yeah, they're going to tax us on the free sunlight that we're producing power for our houses with.
You know how you resolve that?
What? Go ahead. Gary, go ahead.
You know how you resolve that?
How's that?
You simply plug back in, rack up your bill, and don't pay it. They'll come and disconnect it. That's simple.
That's a good one. But we can't give you power anymore because you're old too gray. Okay, see you guys.
Bye.
Call me in 10 years. And when the collection agency calls you, send the collection agency $2 every week. Tell them I'm very limited on income. I'll pay you $2 a week until the bill's paid off.
That's
and talk to you later, buddy.
Yeah,
there's always a way around. Good idea, Gary. But yeah, that just came out of the government here in British Columbia, of course.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just
well, they can't have you off the grid.
Being off the grid now is something they're going to really push back against in the next little bit. And we're already seeing it now everywhere, man. But hey, you got to be on the grid. You got to be in the system because when the poop hits the fan, we sure can't. You have you out in the bush and being self-reliant, man. We cannot have that. You're going to have to line up and you're going to have to line up with the rest of them. And unfortunately, a good percent of the population will be forced to do that, Gary, because
I'm okay with that.
I know I am too. I resign myself to the fact that we're not going to be able to reach everybody, that we're not going to be able to give ideas to people that are going to actually be able to use them because of the situation they're in, that they're in a city, they're forced to buy the food that's provided through the grocery stores, they're forced to drink the water that's coming out of the taps, blah, blah, blah. You, in your situation, perfect. Me being up here a little bit. I have stuff at my disposal that other people.
I'm going to say something that might upset some folks. I believe with every day.
When it's a total population, you have a gap in the area. So,
I'm going to say something that might actually upset some folks. And I'm okay with that because life doesn't care about your feelings. I'm actually getting to the mindset now that I can't bring myself to feel bad for the majority of people out there because we've talked about this for so long with so many folks, with so many Barrys, with so many Jurgens, with so many people all over the place. And it doesn't matter anywhere in the West. You've got somebody doing this and they've been ridiculed for doing this. But it's been spoken for so long, and we've seen the consequences of these things coming to life, that we absolutely deserve what we're getting. We absolutely deserve it.
You know, Gary, I'd have to agree that even though it's not what I want to say, but the majority of the Canadian public right now that aren't actually getting involved, having conversations at dinner tables, talking with their friends and neighbors about the perils our country face, then, yeah, they're going to deserve what they're going to get. But unfortunately, I live in this country, and so do my grandchildren and my children. And I have to keep talking because there is people every day that are actually waking up.
I'm not advocating to quit. Absolutely
not. No, I know what you're saying, Gary. I know exactly what you're saying.
I can't spend my time feeling bad for somebody that you've bottle fed.
I agree, Gary. But you know what? Every day, believe it or not, one of these people that's sitting on the fence that maybe doesn't, hasn't really paid attention, that hasn't really found the tenacity inside their soul to stand up against this stuff, maybe one of our conversations will trigger that mechanism inside them, and they'll actually pay attention. And I know that there's a lot of people that I see it in my society, buddy, that there's so many people in society that they're in the matrix. They don't care. They go home. They watch their TV. They get all their information off CBC, CTV, blah, 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 CNN, whatever. They drink their beer. They watch their hockey game. They go to work. They pay their taxes. And sure, they know there's something nefarious going on inside their government, but they haven't taken the time to sit down and look at it. They don't really care. I hear that from a lot of people. I don't care what happens. Who cares, man? Well, I say to those people, there's not much I can say to them. Except for the fact that, you know, one day your children are going to curse them. And I've said that to a lot of people, and I say it right from the bottom of my heart because I know they will. But unfortunately, we all live in this country, buddy. And as long as one person every day hears what we're saying and it resonates inside them, I'll keep talking. And I'm jerking to say the same thing. We're all here because we believe in what we're doing, of course.
Exactly. Go ahead. Can I throw in a couple of sentences there? What is missed in that brief conversation is those people that are being misled with false information that really want the information, that believe that what they're getting is the truth. And those are the ones that we really need to reach out to, not the ones that we've tried for years to try to swing over, but the ones that are getting the misinformation. I had that situation this week in a store, two lovely ladies behind the counter. And I asked them, I said, are you getting your green vest for this weekend? This Saturday, we're all getting together. And it was like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, it's about the Global Migration Pact. Have you heard about it? What? I watch the news every night, she said. I watch the news every night religiously. I want to know the news. I said, well, you're not getting the news. And those are the people, though, Gary, I understand what you're saying, and I feel the same. I'm done. Well, like, I'm so fed up trying to convince people. But those are the ones. You cannot leave those ones out. They're the ones that are thirsting for it, but they don't know the avenues to find it. Right.
Exactly. Hey, Jürgen, I've had the same situation. I've talked to people about the United Nations Immigration Pact, and they go, what? Yeah. What is that? And I'm going, I beg your pardon. Our country is being fundamentally changed in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. You've never heard of it. Well, they said the exact same that Jürgen. We watch the news every night. They don't talk about that. How come? Yeah. Well, we got to call the CBC out. Everybody.
It was this. Exactly. The same thing with M103. It was
and
the same.
Bill C-61 or Bill C-71.
All of them.
That should have been brought out, and Canadians would be pissed.
By something, all right? Although I don't feel bad for the way things are going, that doesn't mean that I'm giving up, because you're right. There are many people that believe they're being told the truth and aren't. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you collect one more that you come across that wakes up. And that is why I'm here talking to you right now. Well, that's why you're here doing this show. That's why Jürgen's here, you know, having discourse with you. That's why Steve's sitting there behind the monitors getting the show going. Because every day we get a little bit bigger with one more person.
Yep, that's right.
Now, it isn't about – it's more like what Jürgen said. A lot of those people that you fought for with years, they're just not getting it. They just don't want to get it. But there is others. And that is our responsibility. And even if nothing changes, we could be the first to fall, or we really could change everything. And it's all about that one conversation.
It is, Gary.
What it does for me is it makes me put in a proper mental spot where I know I'm not going to battle with myself trying to convince somebody that doesn't want to be convinced. And I can move on to those that are more receptive.
Right.
That's what it does for me.
Yeah. No, Duke says the same thing in a different way. He just says, you know, Noah left those people off the ark, and it's no sense wasting time on them anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I agree. Like I said, in the same mouthful, there might be a person out there that hasn't paid a lot of attention and had that attitude. But really, we really got to look inside our hearts, guys, because when we look at what's coming for our children, if you can get any of that information to resonate with people that are sitting on the fence, because the one thing that people don't want to see is their children harmed or their children hurt. And what's coming is going to harm and hurt our children. Go ahead.
If you tell me you're hungry and I make you a plate and put it in front of you, give you a fork, and you refuse to eat, and I keep urging you to eat, and you keep refusing, all I can do is leave the plate and walk away.
Well, exactly.
That's as human as you can be.
Exactly. You know, you can lead people to knowledge, but you can't make them think. You know, you just can't. But you got to keep trying, because there is people out there. Eventually, it will resonate. And if we can reach one person that's sitting on the fence every day, well, that's one person that's all of a sudden going to start going down the rabbit holes, and he's going to start talking to his wife about it, or maybe sharing conversations at work. The funniest thing I see, boys, is when people start waking up, and a lot of them start sending me links that I looked at 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I get it all the time. Hey, look at this, Barry. What do you think? I'm going, yeah, that's a great link. I looked at it 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's the same response, because they start going down the rabbit holes, and they look at this, and they go, holy shoot. And they look somewhere else, and they go, holy shoot. The first month after finding out, really, when I woke up one night, buddy, I'll tell you, it was like I just couldn't believe some of the stuff that I was finding out. And it has that same effect on anybody that has a heart that really cares about the future of their children. And that's why I'm here, because I love my children. I love all children. I love everybody. Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you, what I see coming, I just hate it, man. I just don't want to see that happen to anybody. And we still have a voice right now, and that voice is getting taken away, Jurgen and Gary, very, very quickly. They're going to start doing stuff like charging guys like you and me and Jurgen for simply, like you said, speaking against the UN migration pact that we are today. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be attacked here in the next little while. And I think you're correct, Gary. Some of the stuff that's coming down the tubes is really going to shock the Canadian public. And we're down to the last 6 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes each to tell people a little bit about what you're doing real quick. Gary, you can hit on synthesis real quick, and you're going to plug your radio show, and we're going to have to shut out the hour. I knew this was going to go quick. I'll start with you.
All right. I have a Facebook Live streaming thing happening tonight at 7 o'clock. If you want to get on Facebook, you can go on the Capital Voice, or you can go on Against the Grain. News You're Not Supposed to Know is my Facebook page. We're blowing up because people are really thirsting for real news. And I try to keep the page lively and full of my own thoughts and opinions. Of course, I like to write, so you will get a lot of my thoughts on the page. But I'd urge all your listeners to hit me up on Against the Grain, News You're Not Supposed to Know. And tonight on Facebook, like I said, 7 o'clock Eastern, I'll be Facebooking live with the Capital Voice from Ottawa. So we'll be discussing the same sort of topics. Again, more Canadiana.
Well, and thanks.
Barry, thanks so much for having me on again. I really appreciate it. And Gary, it's always a pleasure speaking with you lads. Again, like I said before, there's nothing like speaking with people that are of the same mind and appreciate humanity. You want the goodness of people to come out, that appreciate the love of humanity, that want to bring light to all the darkness that we are surrounded by. Appreciate it, guys.
Jurgen, always a pleasure having you in, my friend, and look forward to having you in again in the near future. Thanks for coming in today.
What can I say about synthesis? Imagine a place where you, the end user, actually has a voice and the power of choice back in your hands. That's what synthesis is about. Go Google the word synthesis, and you'll understand a little bit more. It's a platform that's been designed to look like what you already use, the Facebook concept, so it's easy to navigate. But with much more built into it, with its own YouTube, its own Pinterest, its own Twitter, its own all these things in one site. So you don't have to swap between all these sites. A place to broadcast for people like Barry, like Jurgen, like these other folks doing these things. And it's putting the power of voice and choice back in your hands. And that's the easiest way to sum it up for me.
Yeah, Gary, I urge people to go take a look at what you're doing, because I'm impressed, and I'm going to be supporting the site in any way I can, because we do need another voice that we're being censored and attacked on so different levels that this timing for this platform to come through or come to light is good timing, my friend.
We're less than two weeks out. Thanks for doing what you're doing, buddy.
All I can say is thank you for doing what you're doing. And you're right. You're only 2 weeks away from launching.
Thanks for having me on and spending up some of Jurgen's time there, as well as yours.
Always a pleasure, Gary.
You know, you guys, you guys really help push other people to do things, you know, so you're right. You've got to keep on. It's very important, you know, and people got to understand that you don't have to agree with everything, but you at least you owe it to yourselves to listen and make your decisions.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Gary. And with that being said, folks, I'm going to take a 5-minute break here, and my bladder is screaming at me, and I'll be back in the next hour with Sheldon Johnson. Gary, if you choose to hang around and add a few comments, you're welcome, but I want to hear what Sheldon's been up to and some of his thoughts today on a couple subjects that really hit dear to my heart, and sexualization of children and some of the programs being brought into our schools.
Yeah,
so I'll be back in about... Okay, well, I'll be back in a little
bit. My language.
Yeah, no, it gets me mad too, but we got to talk about it. You got to look the devil in the eye. Anyways, I'll be back in about 5 minutes, guys. Well, welcome back to the second hour of the show, guys. I originally had Sheldon Johnson joining me for the second hour, but don't know what happened to Sheldon. Honest to God, he just kind of didn't show up here, and that's not usual for him. He's a very, very punctual man, so he must have had something come up. But I phoned Mike, and I have a hard time with your last name, Mike. So I don't even. Okay, I asked Mike to join me here for the second hour. Had lots of conversations with Mike in the past, and we do share a lot of common concerns, especially, of course, politically, but geologically, a lot of stuff that we see going on in our planet. We share the same concerns about the destruction of our environment and our species that are walking on this planet. But I want to start the hour off with Mike with his thoughts on the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact. I know we talked about that a lot in the first hour, but I wanted to get his thoughts on that, and we could probably get into some other stuff after that. Mike, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking some time out of your day to join me.
Thanks. Hey, League Stuff. Thanks for having me, Barry. I always like popping in and seeing with some kind of hour with you on Sunday. But, it just came up really quick there. But you know what? What hasn't been said? The world has responded. I think that Europe is responding. I think it's a mix of many things. I don't think it's just fuel. I think that everyone's had enough of this implosion, I guess we could call it, on Europe, and the cost of having it, and what it's doing to their societies. And I think that there's many reasons why the yellow vests are out. And I've talked to many of the people around. I can only say for Alberta, but you know, at a few of the rallies and spoke to some Albertans, and everybody's sort of there for a different reason, but the same common goal. I think we reached out for that for years, live on Facebook a lot. We talked about just the one common goal. We're going to argue, we're going to fight, we're going to have these discrepancies. That's what we're fighting for. And I think that the pact itself just throws another card out onto the table to cause more stress and hatred and all of those things. So I don't think it's a good thing. I think that we should be aware of who's coming around. Not everybody always gets along, and we shouldn't be labeled as we're the bad guys as they're coming into people that, as we've said before, I think that don't even like themselves. So it causes big difficulty, and it's damaging. And I think that around Canada, we've seen a lot of people stepping up to the plate and having something to say about that. So I'm not saying all immigration has hurt us, because it hasn't, but that global agenda is what we're looking at. But we got to stop letting that get to us too. We got to start to, you know, be smarter, be wiser, and connect back at it, because if we don't do that, then we lose our strengths. We're a weak society, and that's not a bad thing. We're really nice people, and Western civilization is very nice people. We did a lot of things for around the world for everyone to turn on us for various reasons that they're coming to try and cause a problem for that group in the world.
Well, mass immigration, buddy, is not good for any culture in any society. And unvetted mass immigration to me, where's my phone? I hate that, man. I get phone calls during a show. What's going on with this mass immigration pact to me is actually us giving our sovereignty over to the United Nations. They call it a non-binding agreement. But like we said in the first hour here, I could technically be charged criminally even for talking against this immigration pact now on my radio shows. That's how far our society's gone. And what we really need, I think, at this particular time is put aside differences between groups. I see a lot of infighting amongst conservative groups. I see people that call themselves true conservatives really wanting this, basically the same thing, but a lot of infighting and separation. We got to set that aside, because right now we are at a pinnacle time in Canadian history. If we don't cut this thing off right now, it is going to get past the point of being able to be stopped. And I see that time coming in the near future. What do you think?
I think you're right. And I think that we have to just add to the fact, if we're going to have something of this nature, I think every country should have some sort of voice in it. And the government should change certain things in it for certain countries, just based on what they agree with, or not at all. But we just can't be, you know, nobody's critical of anything as long as it works for everybody. And I think that was the main objective, was that it to make it work for everybody. So I think that, you know, there's lots to be added or taken away, or many things to this non-binding agreement. Which always makes me nervous, that word, because, you know, it...
Well, Angela Merkel just came out yesterday and announced in Germany that it was a binding agreement. Even though they just signed on to it as a non-binding agreement, she's calling it a binding agreement. And you're going to see the Canadian courts manipulate this agreement in ways that are going to shock Canadian people. We're going to see this happen in Canada if we don't stop it. Sheldon Johnson's messaged me that he's trying to call in, Steve. Have you got him on Skype? You might want to try and bring him in.
I do have him on Skype, but he still needs to go green.
Okay, well, I'll give you his phone number. Is 403. Well, maybe I should just type it in here. It doesn't matter.
Give him my phone number. 529. Give him my phone number.
Okay, I will do that.
I typed it in the Skype there.
Just excuse me for half a second here, guys. I'll be distracted for half a sec. Mike, you want to carry on conversation for about 2 seconds, please?
Sure, man. I was just going to answer that I agree with you 100% that it's very impactful, and yes, there are people around the world that are talking about it being a binding agreement. I guess if that's the case, then we have, I guess, other challenges ahead. I don't know what those challenges are going to be. I haven't really even thought of it that far, because it's everything so out of control with everyone. And you know, Barry was right when he said that, you know, within house, conservatives and liberals. And I think it's gone past that now. I think that, you know, it's beyond conservative, liberal, NDP. You know, we spoke a long time ago that it may come to that, and it should be about that. It should be about, common goals, and, definitely a one common goal for sure. And starting to unite instead of argue, and wasting our time with senseless argumentative points on no matter what anybody wants to say anymore, someone's got something bad to say about it. It seems to be every single thing that anyone talks anymore has gone extreme to whatever you're talking about. And there just doesn't seem to be much coming back in signs of, you know, discussion. Mm. So, you know, I think that we'll need to grab the bull by the horns. I think Canada needs to speak up and say something if they don't agree. I think that members of our parliament should be a little louder and should be a little bit on the side of what's good for our country and what's bad for it. They may agree on some things and disagree on some things, but at the end of the day, I think you're right. This is an impact that all it does is drain certain states around the world of all of their commerce, and it ends up with nothing at the end of the day for anybody, actually.
Well, I'll tell you, if Trudeau and his cronies get their way and this goes through the way they want it to, Canada will change forever. And boy, I'll tell you, one really only has to look at what's going on in France and Germany and England right now to see what's coming here in the very near future. And if that's what you want, then stay silent. I say to Canadians, this is not a time to stay silent, that we must speak loud. And one of the things we talked about in the first hour was fear factor. And the government's getting to a point now with M103, with Bill C-71, with Bill C-16. There's four or five others that are absolute outright attacks on free speech in Canada.
C-71?
Bill C-71 was more of an attack on our criminal justice system, the reduction of penalties across the board with offenses, almost all of them directly tied to terrorist activities or terrorist supporting groups and people. And people really got to go look at that legislation and what the Trudeau government did with that. If that doesn't appall people, then they really do have their head in the sand. Yeah. But that's just one of the multiple issues that this government, it's telling me this number is disconnected. Okay, I got to get back to this again, too. Did I type this in wrong?
What's wrong?
Oh, he's trying to call in on this number.
No, he's...
Two. He's not phone number I'm talking about.
Nobody's trying to
call. Me it's disconnected.
I just tried to bring him in. Nobody's called me. Tell him to call my Skype.
Okay.
I tried to bring him in four times now. Aren't you Canadians very good with computers?
I hate, well, I don't know. Anyways, we'll get it together here eventually. If he gets in, he gets in. But
aren't you Canadians right very now, good with computers?
I am Canadian. I'm Canadian.
But aren't you very good
Canadians,
with
Canadians, man? You got two of us in here right now.
Don't they have computers up there?
Yeah, actually, we just got running water here in Terrace a couple of years ago in Washington City, and so I moved out of my igloo and moved into an actual residence. That's great, buddy. I'll tell you, no more seal meat for this boy. Yeah. All joking aside, we wanted to get into a few other things we wanted to talk about. We can get back into political. If Sheldon can get in here, we'll undoubtedly get into a few things that he wanted to talk about today. But geological events, boy, that's something that kind of really got my attention right now. Mike, and I know you and I both follow these things extensively. I make sure now that when I'm following information that I try and vet some of it, because there's a lot of bull crap out there, and a lot of stuff being overplayed. But I say to people, boy, if 50% of what I see right now is accurate and really happening, we're in a lot of trouble. we're about to see some very interesting events unfold geologically on the planet. I believe that's just around the corner.
I do have to agree, and I agree that it's coming on us much faster than anybody wants to believe. Every time you seem to speak to people about it, they say, oh, they've been saying that forever, since I can remember. And they go, not in our lifetime. And I always ask, well, in whose lifetime then? And there is a race for attention to what's going on around a couple of things you pointed out to me, Barry. We'll get into the nuclear thing in a minute. But there's going to be some things happen that I think that the public finally sees how catastrophic it can be. And once we have one of those, then obviously our reach will get a little bit stronger on that. But until that time, I don't think we're going to catch the masses thinking that, you know, our biggest problem is the planet, not any other human. But and it's in a bad way. I mean, we're getting splits across continents. We're getting incrustations. We're seeing, you know, lots of water going down, and it's hot under there right now. It's bubbling and boiling, and as that water comes up, you know, it's inevitable what's going to happen. So the Earth tends to take water where it needs replacement, and when it comes water to fire, it can never be good.
Yeah, I was just distracted there for a second trying to get this gentleman in here who wanted to join. Just give me one more second here. Yellowstone alone. I mean, the amount of uplift that we've seen at Yellowstone here in the last 4 months has really kind of garnished my attention. And also the activities on the West Coast right now as far as earthquakes go on this particular area that is in direct area of the Cascadia subduction. And that's one event that I'm really kind of watching closely. I know it's going to happen real soon, Mike. It's inevitable. It's going to happen real soon. Nobody knows exactly when, but it could happen in the next 3 or 4 seconds. It's that the fact that this one zone is 88 years or 90 years overdue now from movements that it has participated in almost like clockwork for the last 10,000 years. It has moved almost religiously every 200 years. And we're now at 288, I believe, or 289 years that we've had major movement between these two plates. And the longer it goes, boy, the more pressure's building up. Well, and now we've had some earthquakes in that area, and that's one that I'm really kind of watching right now, because that's going to change a lot of things in a lot of people's lives. And a lot of people are going to die, unfortunately.
Well, Oregon is in direct line of that. Yeah. I mean, they're in direct line of that. It's even hit mainstream media, on the extreme right or left media networks, and they've talked about this and telling people in Oregon, you know, get out of there. They're teaching kids in Seattle on, tsunamis, and the teachings are not for any good because they're third floor buildings and the tsunamis would reach higher banks. There's lots going on around the Canary Islands right now and down around those areas where waves are starting to get extremely enormously large, 70, 80 foot waves at times, which is abnormal for there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have waves, but they're bigger. And the Antarctica and what's happening with it, and the end of an ice age. I mean, we can go on and on about what's happening, but the direct threats, there are some that are directly in front of us. And when we put it all together, that of course the volcanoes and that slippage is going to start to happen, because it's going to create its ways of staying a planet in our solar system and defending itself, and other microorganisms of life that go on around the Antarctica areas, and things that people don't look into or know about, or, you know, certain areas and certain depths and, you know, lost cities of times before and a few things. So, and they're all here, and we're finding them now. And, so it gets really scary. Somebody popped up on our screen.
Yeah. I think, Sheldon Johnson, I think I've actually got Sheldon in here now. Do I have you, Sheldon? You can turn your camera off, Sheldon. It takes up a bit of our feed, but yeah, this is audio only.
Okay.
Cool. Hey, well, thanks for joining us. We were having trouble getting you in here. I asked Mike to join me, Mike Trehearne to join me here, and we've been having a conversation. We got into a little bit of conversation about environment here for the last 5 or 6 minutes, but I know there's a couple things that you wanted to talk about today, especially with what's going on in our schools and a few other issues. Welcome to the show, and thanks for taking some time to join us. We only got about a half hour left, but I'm going to let you have a few minutes here, Sheldon.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me, Barry. I appreciate the opportunity of popping in once again.
Tell people a little bit about yourself, Sheldon, and what you're doing.
So I had been in 2016 the Libertarian candidate in the last federal by-election for Medicine Hat, Cardston, Warner. I have been engaging on quite a few fronts with our local activism in the community of Medicine Hat. And been involved in a number of different groups focusing on education and on, I guess, freedom of speech issues with a number of different groups. So professionally, I have worked as a minister, and I'm hoping to once again become an Anglican minister in the near future.
Hmm. Okay. Question, what your thoughts on, seeing we've had this conversation with quite a few people today, your thoughts on the United Nations mass immigration pact and its impact on Canada?
Well, I'm still trying to learn as much as I can about the accord and what the implications are for Canada. I've been hearing on a number of other fronts some information that I think is quite concerning. And you know, you can't just take, you know, information from one source. You can't just focus on one individual topic. You have to take a look at the broader picture of things. And for me, the broad picture is quite scary. I've been seeing images online, and you know, you can't always trust the information that you're getting from you know, from Facebook. But the images that I'm seeing are that our government has put up UN flags at our border points of entry, and that apparently. A new requirement or invitation has been made to the media, to the various quote-unquote trusted news outlets, that they are going to be, quote, re-educated, that the government and the United Nations are going to provide reporters with, I guess you could describe it as a new way of thinking about government policies. I mean, we haven't seen this. You know, in Canada, I mean, this has never happened before. I mean, it would the closest thing like this perhaps would have been, you know, how reporters have been embedded with the U.S. military during the Gulf War one and two, or, you know, possibly during World War II. You know, you've seen reporters that were embedded with the Canadian or British or American armies. You haven't really seen the independence of our media being taken over by various forces of government or other non-government actors. And so for me, this is very concerning. I mean, I haven't trusted any mainstream media source. One thing that's quite interesting to me, I've seen on Twitter, Ezra Levant has been focusing on our local newspaper today. He's been talking about the Medicine Hat News, which is a news chain that at one point was owned by a media outlet, a media chain owned by Conrad Black. And he passed it off to one of his cohorts. And the Twitter feed today, if you want to check on Twitter, is he's describing some of the stories that have been run by a local reporter. And what he's claiming is that this reporter, the newspaper is getting $100,000 per year from the government of Canada. This gentleman is probably being paid in the order of about $40,000. And the media outlet is being paid $60,000 to pay them off for their stories. So the only requirement that they have, basically, for the local reporting is that they do not suck. In other words, that the stories are at least somewhat credible, that the media outlets at least present some sort of decency in the quality of their reporting. However, everything has to be filtered through a government lens now. I mean, if you want to continue receiving your funding, everything has to be politically correct. Everything has to be, you know, according to the government
guidelines,
way of thinking. And this is very scary. You know, we see how, like, for example, you know, in Eastern Europe, you know, up until the fall of the Berlin Wall, that all of the media sources were controlled by the government. And I never thought in such a short time frame that we, during my lifetime, that we would be seeing the same type of control over the free press in Canada. This is a very scary time.
And it's growing by the day.
Yes, yes, yes.
Go ahead, Mike, your thoughts on that.
Wow, I have to agree wholeheartedly on every single thing that you just said. You know, and that was, you know, we go back as far as, you know, just as early as, and like, you know, Sheldon's trying to say, as early as the Reagan administration, and we're full cycle. And we're not just full cycle in the sense of Germany, but we've gone full cycle seemingly in the world. And that's scary on how quickly all this is happening, and yes, and how the buyout happens. And I'm going to look up that Medicine Hat
charade,
and just, yeah, that charade, and just see exactly, like you know, we have to know that the news, as you're saying, you know, is going to be paid off to tell things that are at least truthful, but have really nothing to do with our day-to-day life, like. You know, the old rose-colored glass deal that, you know, everything's fine and this is what the news is. And unfortunately, in this country, that still has big impact. But I think that, you know what, I agree. This is something that's very, very not something that hasn't ever happened to Canada. I would have to agree that we need to read more about it. We really got to find out what's going on and what really pertains, and if it's non-binding, then it's changeable at this point. But still, it is what it is, and we've got to find a way to either expunge it, because we already have great immigration laws in Canada. We have wonderful ones, actually, probably the best in the world, actually. And but it's definitely being stretched to its widest margins, if you will.
That's absolutely being run over. It's ramshot. I mean, there's nothing in our immigration system right now that's being followed by the government. I mean, they've broken just about every rule that was ever wrote about immigration. Immigration made our country, but people that came to Canada in the old days, we'll call it that, where immigrants came into this country, they didn't have a great big carrot sitting in front of their face. We have the biggest carrots in the world. Everybody wants to come to Canada. I mean, this is the prime destination, because as soon as you set foot on our Canadian soil, You're getting a welfare check. You're getting checks for your children. You're getting benefits, all these social benefits. You're getting free medical, free dental. Now, that was a kicker. When I found out the government is paying for immigrants, illegal immigrants and immigrants, dental work, and me being a Canadian taxpayer all my life, never getting that benefit from the government, it really shows you just how far our government has gone. And the cost of these illegal immigrants to our financial systems is just going to be unbelievable. I was looking at reports from Germany and France and the cost of the illegals that have come into their country. In Germany, next year, it'll represent 7% of their GDP just to look after the illegals that have come into their country. I mean, what's going on, guys? Well, we know what's going on. The stabilization of the West through an agenda. And it's coming to Canada in waves right now. We got to stand up against this, guys, or else our country's done. Go ahead. I'll shut up. That's my rant. Sheldon.
Well, you know what?
It's your turn.
Your turn. Yeah, we're going around the table here.
I feed today. I think that one thing that's important to talk about, like we had a large protest here in Medicine Hat. We had 170 people show up to our Yellow Vest protest yesterday. That's probably up about 20 times what the original event was last weekend. And we're anticipating, I anticipate next weekend, probably at least in the order of 400 people. I know that they had approximately 400 people showing up in Lloydminster yesterday. It's quite amazing when you take a look at the photos online. And you understand the mess that the city of Lloydminster is in. You know, they have a refinery and a heavy oil upgrader, and they're continuously under threat from the provincial and federal governments. They cannot get, you know, a pipeline for much of the, you know, resources that they are, you know, attempting to get to market and to Tidewater. From the oil industry there. And the government, provincial government, just announced that they were going to, I think for the first time in, I can't remember how many years, quite some time, within I think a couple generations, announcing an oil production cap. They're trying to reduce the amount of oil that's being produced in the province of Alberta to try to increase the price of oil you know, is coming from Fort McMurray. I think at one point we were getting approximately $13 a barrel, and you know, the world price right now, I think, was what was it
67?
Yeah, for West Texas Intermediate, it was certainly, you know, 3, 4, 5 times that amount. And so you know, economically, if you just want to focus on the economics of this country, we are failing badly, and our government is spending money like it is out of control. You know, we are bailing out foreign governments, you know, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. We can't afford this right now. We're telling our veterans, for example, that we can't provide for their medical care. We can't provide for their mental health supports, you know, once they return from active duty. You know, and a number of other social programs, like, for example, we've told families with autistic children that we can't afford to be providing for their care. And yet we can bail out any international government. You know, all that has to happen is Bill Gates or, you know, one of these globalists has to, you know, pander to the Canadian Prime Minister. He announced on Twitter this past week that he was giving $50 million to on a tweet. he was giving it in response to some you know, a television celebrity, some talk show host, and you know, talk show hosts get more recognition than our veterans do, more recognition. Do you know how even $50 million, how far that would go for mental health supports for our veterans, how far that would go towards the disabled, the autistic community in Canada? That would be tremendous. Tremendous.
You wouldn't have a homeless person on the streets in Canada if money was spent here. Go ahead.
Yes. Some South African group deserves that money more than Canadians do. And this is
one example, Sheldon.
This is
long.
This whole movement is taking off across Canada astronomically. I mean, the media today, for example, is commenting, you know, saying, well, where did this come from? The left, I mean, this movement is not really a left wing or a right wing movement. It's attempting to reach out, in Europe.
Across all boundaries.
Yes, it has a compass both the left and the right.
But we
see the leftists in Canada, and I've been checking on some of the online social groups. They're attempting to designate this as a far right movement, that the far right has hijacked this yellow vest group. I see online right now they're saying that there's tremendous disarray and we're fighting with each other and we're spreading all kinds of conspiracy theories. You know, for example, in the meeting yesterday, we had a couple media outlets that were covering it. And one of the local groups, and I'm not going to give him any credibility, I'm not going to give him any recognition, but one of our local fake news outlets had engaged in a personal attack on me last night, dredging up a video from a couple years ago and somehow linking this to the protests yesterday. And they are really going all out in their attempt to discredit anyone who wants to step forward. And, you know, for the most part, the people that I see coming forward in these protests are laid off workers. You know, many of the workers have suffered an injury. WCB claims that they are, you know, struggling to get by. Many of them rely upon their food banks across Canada. These are people that are hurting. These are people that are simply looking to have a decent Christmas, you know, coming up just a week and a half before Christmas. They're coming out to these events because they feel that our government isn't listening. Now, we had our member of parliament, we had the protests in front of our member of parliament's office, and I will give his name, Glenn Motz, MP for Medicine Hat, came out and spoke, which I give more credibility to him than I do for, you know, any of the leftists, because you cannot get anyone from the left. If you have an NDP or Liberal member of parliament, you would never see them coming out to a yellow vest protest and speaking before the people. But this conservative MP did speak. I mean, he wouldn't answer certain questions if you want to ask him about, you know, the dairy board or supply management. He wouldn't be asking any questions like that. But he did stick to the main talking points of the Conservative Party right now, saying that they were not in favor of this UN agreement, which is good. You know, they at least are considering their position on the Paris Accord, on the whole discussion around climate change, which is good. I think that they are pandering because they're not going to talk too much about immigration issues. They're not going to be focusing too much on, what the immigration quotas should be. Trying to pin the government down and pin the opposition down on a hard number. You know, at least under Stephen Harper, we had a number, I think it was around 240,000 immigrants per year. And, you know, I can live with that. You know, that isn't an excessive number. You know, I do recognize that if you do try to bring down the number of immigrants too far, you're going to be restricting, you know, private businesses and industry in being able to recruit people that they need to keep this country moving forward. However, when you don't have any policy and you're signing on to a UN agreement, which handcuffs our government so that we don't even control our borders any longer, you've handed sovereignty of this country over to foreign actors. And some of the interests that are at stake, like, for example, and I don't want to get into too far into a conspiracy here, but this is fact. The prime minister from Israel, okay, before it was announced, they had a question over, I think it was over immigrants that were coming into Israel from another country. And before it was even announced or discussed within parliament, the prime minister from Israel said that he was sending these people to Canada. So we have another foreign head of state telling us publicly, and he had to renounce and had to take back that particular statement until it was announced by the Canadian government. But you have a foreign head of state saying that we are going to take in immigrants from other countries. And this is not conspiracy. This is fact. It was announced in the media. It was announced 3 days ahead of the announcement in Canada that we were accepting immigrants coming from Israel. Now, I don't mind that. This isn't an issue, for example, of where we get the immigrants from. Quite frankly, if we pass laws in Canada that allow for immigrants and immigration, as long as it's fair, coming from any country, if you want to have 25,000 immigrants, for example, coming from Syria, as long as it's fair, as long as you're accepting immigrants from the Christian populations and exactly. protecting them, as long as you're allowing for farmers to come in from South Africa who are under constant threat of, death and so forth from South Africa, if you have a fair system, that's fine. But when you have foreign governments and heads of state telling us what we're going to do, then we have lost the reins of control over our government.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Mike, you want to say something?
No, man, I'm listening along, actually. You know, I've discussed these very many things for the last, you know, 3 years live all the time. And it's nice to see that we're starting to hit it on the head of the nail that it's about everything. It's not just isolated to anything anymore and a common opinion. It's every single thing that is broken in our societies that need fixing have now appeared to show its brokenness. And it's creating havoc, and that's their only diversion to make it happen. And the havoc has lots to do with other things too, diplosion and just many things that the elite seem to be talking about. But but yes, I'd have to agree on every note that, yes, I agree on what we should and shouldn't be doing. You know, it's going to be a hard battle, but I do think that Canadians across the table are starting to step up to the plate, and the Yellow Vest is starting to carry on, and I'm looking forward to next weekend as well. I know Red Deer had a couple hundred, and Edmonton had about 400 again, or 500 or so, and you know, Calgary, I'm not sure, I haven't heard the numbers yet, but you know, a lot of people are showing up in a lot of places, and accumulating all those numbers together, we're starting to hit the right numbers on a common goal, and we've preached that forever. We need to have the common goal so we can have the freedoms and liberties to discuss and disagree.
You know,
if we could get those numbers to double every week for a couple months, boys, I'll tell you, the government and mainstream media would start paying attention, especially the mainstream. And that's what we need.
Like, here's something that I think doesn't get much attention, an issue that was raised with me by a friend today. We were talking earlier. I think I mentioned the $600 million that the government has earmarked as a as a media bailout. In Canada for the various quote-unquote trusted news outlets.
Right.
And we don't talk – I mean, there has been quite a bit of attention on the CBC. I think they had received an additional $2 billion of taxpayer money for their ongoing programming, and that is an increase. I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's a sizable increase for the Liberal government over the previous Conservative government. For the annual budget for the CBC, really an astronomical amount of money that we're paying for them. And you know, like in other countries, like, for example, the United States public broadcasters, they have to fork over the majority of their own bill. This is a state-run media outlet that has been doing nothing but attempting to interfere with our elections. Like, for example, we could see with Brad Trost during the leadership bid for the Conservative Party, there are a couple news outlets with CBC. I think This Hour Has 22 Minutes was attempting to mock and ridicule one of the leadership candidates for the Conservative Party. You would never see the CBC mocking, you know, anyone for the NDP. You wouldn't see the CBC mocking Jagmeet Singh in his campaign. I mean, that would be absolutely unheard of. But you have a social conservative and actually a couple of conservatives. There was one of the leadership candidates, Lemieux, that was facing some public ridicule as well from the left. And, you know, I just found out, I found out today that there is a broadcast, and, you know, CBC is responsible for, I can't remember how many different, platforms and channels of broadcasting that they are responsible for. You know, through the radio, there are a number, there's Radio Canada International, there's, I think, four different CBC feeds. But one of the feeds that I heard about today is they have an Arabic broadcasting channel. Okay, and I think this is being accessed online. I have to do more research on this particular thing. And you know, going into other languages is not new. They had, for example, Hockey Night in Canada had a Sikh or Punjabi broadcast for Hockey Night in Canada. You know, good on them for at least attempting to reach out and to provide a cultural experience to Canadians that are immigrating and at least getting their feet wet in understanding what Canadian culture is all about.
It actually got Canadians to really actually join in with cricket, actually, is what it did. And it showed that the communities had a lot to talk to each other about in sport. So, but carry on, please.
Well, and what I'm concerned about, and I need to find out more about this, but I have a friend here who is an Arabic pastor, and he comes from Egypt. He survived three assassination attempts by the Muslim Brotherhood. He's had three of his close personal friends assassinated. And I'm going to be very interested to have him, if he hasn't been following this particular feed already, to tell me, is there any aspect of this programming from the CBC in the Arabic language? Is it religiously based? Because in Canada, all of the CBC feeds have gotten out of the issue of religion. Like, for example, we used to have a program called Man Alive that was dealing with the topic of religion, not from the Christian perspective, but from all different aspects of religious faith. That program was shut down. We used to have, a number of years ago, I remember when I grew up, there was a Christian program on Sunday afternoons called Hymn Sing. And in our family, I come from a Mennonite background on my mother's side. We watched this program religiously. It was, you know, I'm sure that for the majority of Canadians, they didn't pay any attention to it. But for Christians, we had, there was a small amount of programming on the CBC that was dedicated and allowed Christians to have their own outlet of influence and celebrating our faith. The CBC moved away from that. And if they are moving towards allowing one particular group, having them access religious support in this country, paid for by taxpayers, but refusing to provide that same support to Christian people across Canada, I think that is something that Canadian people can't ignore. And one thing I'm hoping is that we can begin a conversation, and I'm hoping that the Yellow Vest movement will start to do that. How is it that we can say that with this new M103 and the legislation that's going to follow afterwards, that we cannot be criticizing religious broadcasting coming from CBC, but we can't ask them to provide an equal amount of time to other religious faiths, such as the Christian faith, when it is the majority of faith in Canada?
Exactly.
Well, we already
have rules against the hypocrisy. Go ahead, Mike.
And we have already rules against criticizing religion. We don't do it here. And so I don't understand why we had to even address it when we already had it. But as well, we know why we had to do that. But that's all I have to say on that. I when we get talking religion, we could go for another hour, and I have another hour on that for sure. But yeah.
I have been active in this new People's Party, and I know that there has been expression by quite a number of people that we need to move towards a situation where our government is not focused on the topic of religion and so forth. I mean, I have a different perspective. I feel that, for example, prayer in the House of Commons, there's nothing wrong with it. It has not been a negative thing. I don't have a problem with referencing God in our national anthem. But I do have a problem when our laws are being changed very quickly to make one religion untouchable and to make all the other religions in Canada, they are free and open for criticism. That isn't fair. That is not the direction to go.
It's an all-out attack, and all you have to do is read between the lines to see that. We know what our government is supporting, and if you don't see it by now, then you truly just, you're not paying attention. And it shocks me, but it's what I expect. It's all part of their agenda. Absolutely. I mean, this is going on pretty well everywhere we look right now, not just in Canada. It's being played out around the world, and it's ramping up right now. Boy, I'll tell you, talk about the attack on free speech. I'm honestly expecting a knock on the door one of these days, because anybody in this country now that is speaking out is we're sticking our necks out there, and they're going to come after us harder and harder and harder. I'm going to actually have a buddy of mine who's is listening to the show is going to send me that link for that site, CBC link for our Arabic programming. He's going to send that to me, Sheldon. Is there any way we can get translations on a site like that? We've got to monitor what they're saying. because this information, of course, if it's nefarious in any way, it needs to be exposed. So he's going to send me the link here in a few minutes. I'm going to look into that a little bit. It's interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, we should be monitoring. I know that the left are monitoring, the social media feeds and so forth very, very closely. I mean, I have never been a focus of any amount of attention. I have been, you know, for the most part, being quite mindful. I have in previous programs been, for example, questioning some of the LGBT issues that are being raised in education and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't take on too many issues. And so I try to focus on just a couple and do a good job of them. Like this, for example, this local fake news broadcaster had been showing a video of me from 2 years ago and attending a pride event here in Medicine Hat, and somehow using my attendance at a pride event to try to discredit me. I'm not sure with either the Christian community or trying to discredit me amongst leftists. I had one elected official, a city councilor, this past week at a public meeting. We had a library board meeting, and this city councilor approached to me and he called me a bigot because I had attended a pride event and I was wearing a T-shirt that referenced Jesus. Okay, simply because I was attending a pride event with a T-shirt that referenced Jesus, he was calling me a bigot. Mm. And this is the country. I don't recognize this country anymore.
It's getting to that point, Sheldon. It is.
It's crazy.
It is. Look, gentlemen, we got 4 minutes left here. This hour went really quick. So I'm going to let you have a few last thoughts in here, and I'm going to close the show for the week. First off, I want to say thanks to you guys for joining, and thanks to Steve for producing, and thanks to PIR for giving us this platform. Sheldon, I'll start with you, and then Mike, I'll get your last thoughts, and we'll call it a day.
Well, I'm just looking forward to next weekend. If anyone is in southern or southeastern Alberta, we're meeting at the Staples parking lot just south of the number one highway in Medicine Hat. We're expecting a good turnout. We're going to have this time some hot coffee available to keep you warm. And we're looking forward to a big crowd coming up this coming Saturday at 12 noon.
Cool. Anybody in Canada that's paying attention, I urge you to go have a look at the Yellow Vest Movement and get involved. Mike?
Well, that's the quietest I've ever been on the show. thank you. And I'm sure the listeners will hear that. But that was great, Sheldon. No, I was with you. And I actually wrote a lot of things down, and I don't write things down normally. Yes, the Yellow Vest Movement, please, every single city, everybody, please, no excuses. Get up, put on your yellow vest. Put on your yellow shirt, put on a yellow hat. I don't care what it is, a pair of yellow gloves, a pair of yellow running shoes. Wear some yellow and show up and support free speech. And we come with no harm. We come with no vengeance. We're just trying to raise awareness. And I think it's a good thing to do. So, but thanks, Barry, for having me on as usual. And I'll be talking to you through the week for sure.
Thanks for joining in, Mike, on short notice. I was kind of panicking there at the beginning of the hour because we couldn't get Sheldon in, but thanks for joining in. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Yes. Yeah, we are finding ourselves in very, very interesting times. But me being a religious person and knowing what I know about what my book tells me about this particular time in history, for me right now, guys, in my life, the most important thing for me is my spiritual connection, because if I didn't have it, I'd go absolutely crazy, because we're seeing the world fall into a state of chaos. And today we're talking about many, many issues. I want to thank my guests for joining and sharing their thoughts today. It was a good first hour, but I say to people, and this is something I really kind of stress in my thoughts, is when chaos erupts, because it's going to erupt. We're in a time now that we're going to see chaotic events unfolding in our history. I honestly believe that. I'm not being a fear-mongering type of guy, but I honestly believe we're going to see some crazy stuff come down the tubes. And when it does, it's going to create a real state of chaos in our society, and they're going to play off that. So try and find a spiritual connection in your life, whatever that may be, and keep your feet on the ground, guys, because when this hits, our feet are going to be 15 feet up in the air. Thanks for joining me in this conversation today. Thanks to Sheldon and Mike for joining me. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. I guess I'm only going to have an hour next week, apparently. So it'll be a short show, but I'm looking forward to talking to you next week.
Barry, you might even start it late
and do 2 hours again.
Barry, you can do 2 hours. You just got to do start 1 hour later.
Okay, cool. I'll be back, guys, next week, same time, same place. Thanks for joining in. Thanks to Annie for picking up the show and producing it over at Shake and Wake. Thanks for lending us your ears today, guys. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and God bless you all. Bye for now.